Welcome to the Flo Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:37, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 27th. And today we saw actually a rather positive day on much of Asia, continued evidence that the Chinese are supporting that 3,000 level on the CSI 300. But it wasn't just China that was up on the day. In fact, most of the ASEAN region were. That partly because the Chinese renminbi was in negative territory, another fresh low for the renminbi that is representative of a continued downtrend, which has been in evidence now for in excess of a year. This is not new news, but it is very much a consistent downtrend where the 200-day moving average has represented resistance on a number of occasions at this stage. That, of course, takes some pressure off of some of China's neighbors to continue to support their respective currencies. And there isn't any country that is particularly keen on having a strong currency at the present time. Some, of course, need a weaker one more than others, not least the UK. But certainly the relative weakness of the Asia dollar index and the considerable distance, both in terms of geography and in terms of just market vulnerability from much of energy importing Asia relative to Europe and the UK, is very large indeed, and that may help to bolster their status as a safe haven region. And of course, in Europe today, we saw continued unwinding of long trades and certainly an increase in shorts, where the DAX was down 3%. The OMX in Sweden was down 8%. And most particularly, it's the banking sector which is taking the brunt of the selling pressure. And the Eurostox was breaking to a new reaction low, and Eurostox Banks was breaking to a new reaction low and is back testing the region of the 2012 low. And if you look at it over the last decade, then this has been a very lengthy period of ranging. It's been a very difficult period overall for Europe, but also it's it's indicative of just the challenges that Europe continues to face, where you have a monetary union and you have 27 fiscal policies. And when you don't have fiscal cohesion, and most particularly social security cohesion, like you do, for example, in the USA, then forcing countries that are heavily indebted and going through recessions and massive unemployment to go through a fiscal a period where they simply cannot do anything to support their own economies and have to weather it all out on their own so that they can pay back their neighbors who are supposed to be their partners, is obviously a recipe for a deflationary environment. And negative interest rates certainly don't help that either. The UK deciding to leave the EU, because not least because of the democratic deficit, is being viewed by and understandably, because as students of crowd psychology, we have to understand that crowds are powerfully discriminatory. And it's really quite, and the way I often describe it is, anyone who's got teenage kids will know who their favorite music star is. And if you were to say to the fans of Taylor Swift that you thought Metallica or Guns N' Roses were the best band of all time, well, they'd think you were a moron. But for someone who then converted from one camp to the other, well, the camp that they're leaving vilifies them and thinks that they're crazy, that they couldn't possibly have the right of the situation. But that is the situation now that the UK finds itself in. That it doesn't mean that it isn't in the right situation. It doesn't mean that the UK hasn't made the right decision. But what it means is that the perspective with which those who remain within the EU will view the UK, those who remain within the bubble of political correctness and continuing to view a situation that has deteriorated considerably as something that will repair itself without radical action, those people are going to view the move that the UK has made as insanity. And 2 years from now, it might be viewed as anything but insanity. It could quite easily be viewed as being among the most prescient political decisions that has ever been taken. So there's a lot to play for, and what is required is vision and a realization that the UK is actually in a very positive negotiating position, not least because it is the fifth largest economy in the world. Now, that, of course, it doesn't sit particularly well with those who would like to negate the entire position entirely. So right now the pound is continuing to experience selling pressure, and it was down over 4 cents in here today, and that's an acceleration of what has been a downtrend that's been in evidence for over 2 years. It was at 170 2 years ago. It's at 132 right now. So that's a substantial deterioration already. Is it over? We can't say that it's over yet, because there's no evidence that it's over yet. But it is an accelerating downtrend, and an acceleration is a trend ending. When the acceleration either is checked by a clear upward dynamic that is sustained beyond just a few days, or when the downtrend loses momentum, then we'll have evidence that the selling pressure has exhausted itself, or is at least beginning to exhaust itself, but that's not yet the case. What is perhaps more worrying is that you are getting commonality in the underperformance of the banking sector, and it isn't just in the UK or Europe, but it's in the USA, it's in Canada, and it's in a broad swathe of the global market. So, for example, while the Nikkei was up today by over 2%, then the banking sector was in negative territory. So we're getting this underperformance of the banking sector, and again, this is not new. The S&P 500 banks has been trending lower for over a year, and it's a well-defined downtrend. It's a type 2 top with right-hand extension, and now that that rally off the early February lows has been broken, the progression of higher reaction lows was broken in here today. Now, it isn't just because of Brexit that the banks are pulling back. It's perhaps because of the very low interest rate environment and the money markets, and the money market funds are making them no money. The increasingly expensive role of regulation is weighing on the banking sector. So there is just one thing after another is weighing on the banking sector. And if banks are in trouble, they are not extending liquidity. And if they're not extending liquidity, then a bull market thrives on access to liquidity, and that robs the bull market of access to that liquidity. It means that the central bank has to ramp up their provision of liquidity if they're going to stall the slide. And so far, we haven't seen that. So therefore, this remains an environment which is still very uncertain. And the S&P 500 closed out the day at 2,000 exactly. And that's below the 200-day moving average. The trend mean is currently around 2037. So then we're off the low a little bit in here today. And then it really does need an upward dynamic to really check the potential that a more than a short-term top is in, and that it's looking increasingly likely that we're going to go right back down and test the lower side of that range. And this is likely to remain a choppy, volatile, tradeless environment for some of these stock markets. And you know, that is has been our sort of base case for much of the last couple of years, that we would have this volatile ranging environment after such a powerful bull market between and breakout in between 2012 and 2015. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have attractive trading opportunities. There will be, and certainly the lower prices go, the greater the value that will come back into some of these prices, not least because valuations are really quite high. So then we really, rather than losing our heads, rather than panicking or you know, expressing discontent with what is happening, we just have to simply monitor the charts, look for evidence of loss of downside momentum, and for evidence of upside leadership. And then we can have an idea of what it is that is going to outperform on the upside. Then when we look at the currency markets, the pound is obviously weak, but the yen is at around 102, and it's a little bit stronger on the closing here today. And it's looking likely that the Bank of Japan will probably defend that 100 level and try to weaken it if it strengthens beyond 100. But really, a clear upward dynamic for the dollar from that region would really be required to signal that that is in fact happening. A number of the energy-related commodity currencies were weaker in here today. And for example, the Canadian dollar was weaker by 73 ticks. The Australian dollar was weaker by over a cent. And then it's a pretty, and it's most particularly the case for the ruble or for the Norwegian crown. And indeed, the South African rand was also a fair bit weaker in here today. And that's not least because Brent crude is right at the lower side of this reaction. And I've been saying in practically every audio that a reaction of greater than $6 would be required to signal that a peak of more than short-term significance is in. And we're pretty much right there. So it was as low today as 46.69. It closed out today closer to 47.60. And it would really need to follow through in the upside tomorrow. If we do get a break below 46, that would break the progression of higher reaction lows. It would break below the 200-day moving average. It would be a larger pullback, and it would confirm that a peak of more than short-term, potentially medium-term significance is in oil prices. So because this is such a volatile environment, that would also be probably coming back, not because supply has necessarily increased, but because people are pricing in a deflationary environment and that demand would be likely to pull back. So that would also rob the stock market of an important support, because the energy sector has been among the most important contributors of large cap shares that have been trending higher since the beginning of the year. And if they start rolling over, then the chances are that the S&P 500 has indeed hit a peak of more than short-term significance in here. So it remains a very taut environment, and for that reason, the bond market was really quite firm. The long bond today in the US was stronger by 3 full points. The German Bund was stronger by just less than a point, and the UK gilt, despite the fact that that the S&P has probably rather short-sightedly indicated that it is going to that it has downgraded the gilt to AA. Gilts were stronger today by a point and a half, and continue to benefit from safe haven buying, not least because of continued pressure in the stock markets. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.